Site number one. Welcome, History of Mining. Welcome to the Stary Martin Sightseeing Gallery, which is a cultural monument of the Krupka mining landscape. It was inscribed on the UNESCO World Heritage List in 2019 as part of the Erzgebirge-Krushnohori mining region. Krupka is one of the oldest tin ore deposits in the Ore Mountains. Tin was mined here in the 12th century. In the very beginning, the ore was obtained by surface digging and the miners were called diggers. In the Middle Ages, miners switched to panning and, after depletion of surface reserves, to deep mining. Until the middle of the 18th century, pits were mined by digging pits from which they dug into the rock either horizontally, along an ore vein, a gallery, or vertically, after the inclination of the vein, a shaft. In the Ore Mountains, tin ore was most often mined from galleries, which were mined in lengths from 20 to 100 meters. The size of the underground spaces varied. In some corridors, the miners worked sitting or even lying down. But there are also several tens of meters wide and tens of meters high excavated chambers. The miner worked in mining with the so-called pick and hammer, i.e., with the two hammers that make up the mining emblem. He obtained the rock by driving a pointed part of the iron into the rock with a threshing machine. Softer rock was mined by the canine, a pickaxe-like tool. The cut stones were cleared with a triangular hoe called a digger and carried away in wooden buckets, wicker baskets, ox leather bags, or carried on wheelbarrows. It was not until many years later that rails were laid in the mines and the material could be exported in mining carts called hunts. 164 old mining works are registered in the area of Krupka districts. The most important of these is the Stary Martin Adit, which opens the most powerful part of the tin vein called Lukasz. In 1864, the Krupska mines were bought by the mining entrepreneurs Lewald and Schiller. After mapping some old mining works, they found out that the tin vein is located in the rock mass at an angle of 35 degrees, that it rises to the surface under the Mosquito Tower, and that its approximate length is 2 kilometers. The results of the survey also showed that the richest part of the Lukasz vein are at a depth of 60 to 80 meters below the surface. So they set out a mining field and began to excavate the entrance. We learn from written records that after 4 years of digging, the Martin Adit reached a length of 237 meters. The original profile of the gallery from the time of Luard and Schiller was expanded in 1916 and modified to allow manual rail transport. The work was carried out under the administration of the Austro-Hungarian Ministry of War. And it is in this way that we will go on a tour through the gallery. After the first rails, the so-called narrow-gauge railways, the ore was transported in small wooden carts, one of which is placed on display at the entrance. Later, wider tracks were laid, on which mining carts with a larger volume traveled. The mining locomotive with wagons, which is on display in the outdoor museum, was used to transport material in the Novi Martin Gallery. It was minted as a reconnaissance work in the middle of the 20th century. Today, it is remembered as a closed portal with a statue of St. Barbara, the patron saint of all miners. The reconstruction of the Stary Martin Gallery was completed in 2000. It is from this year that there is an iron reinforcement called Heizmany, under which we are located. You can see the condition before the reconstruction in the photos. After this first section, we will walk through bare rock. In places where there are so-called faults in the rock, there will be wooden reinforcement which will protect us from chipped stones. Please be careful when walking on the wooden footbridges, which are damp and slippery, and also when passing through the lowest places where you will add another 12 centimeters to your height due to the helmet that you are wearing. Station number two, mining lamps. Mining lamps from different periods are exhibited here. In the Middle Ages, the miners shone a small ceramic lamp with a torch, so none of them stepped underground without a leather strap with a bag for a spare wick and flint. The oldest type of lamp was a torch that was filled with oil or kerosene. Later, safer carbide and gasoline lamps began to be used. They were still used up to the 1970s. For comparison, we also have a sample of current electric lamps charged by batteries. Station number 3, original profile. At this point, we have the opportunity to see, on the right, the original profile of the gallery, minted in the second half of the 13th century by Leuwald and Schiller. We are located in the main mining corridor, which was widened in 1916. Due to the fact that the exact depth of the Lukas vein was not known, an exploration corridor was excavated at the same time as the main corridor, which was to reveal whether the vein was breaking in the rock before the main corridor is excavated. Therefore, the reconnaissance corridor is not straight, but zigzags from right to left. Station number 4, wooden reinforcement and rock failure. We will find out what a regular rock disorder looks like at this site. If you look all the way to the left, you will see a distinctive light stripe between the stone blocks. It is called a cladding and is a thin filing of barren rock in a rock mastiff. In essence, it is a distortion of the rock, weathered due to moisture and airflow, and falls out in the form of small stones. The rock fault section is therefore secured with wooden reinforcement for safety. Station 5, colored wall. We are in a place that proves to us that even a dark underground can be colorful and beautiful. As in karst caves, a limestone sinter was formed by the slow dripping and evaporation of water. It is a whitish rock containing dissolved limestone. The sinter forms small stalactites, or so-called stalactite curtains. The growth of stalactites in our Stari Martin gallery is approximately 1 millimeter per year. Thanks to the ability of limestone to bind different metals, a beautiful colored wall was created with dark brown spots that contain iron and gray spots that contain molybdenum. Station number 6, Explosives Warehouse. We are located at an explosives warehouse, which was in operation until 1945. At the beginning of the 20th century, explosives began to be used in the mines. The blasting of the rock was the responsibility of the gunner, who was also responsible for the safe storage of the explosives. During World War II, the warehouse was also used by the German army. On the basis of a contract with the Wehrmacht, with the mining administration, war ammunition was stored here, including handheld anti-tank weapons known as Panzerfaust, or armored fists. Allegedly, 3 pieces were stolen, but the culprit was never caught. Station number 7, arrival at the bankruptcy, which leads to the hereditary table of Dürrholz. In 1868, according to Leuwald and Schiller's records, the miners broke into this very place. They knew that they were very close to a vein, and they eagerly waited to discover it every day. In the exploratory corridors we see around us, we will explain the terms decay and upper corridor. From the main directional corridor in which we stand, which is in a straight line, we see 2 corridors which are excavated upwards. After the vein is inclined, these are called upper. The corridors that run downwards, below the level of the main corridor, are called the decline. At one depth of 30 meters, miners broke into a medieval hereditary gallery called Dürrholz, one of the heritage mines excavated during World War II. The mining order of 1487 already mentions the adit as functional, so it had to be excavated many years earlier, around 1460. At that time, tin ore was already mined in a deep way, but the miners could only dig deep until they were prevented from leakage to progress further by groundwater. At that time, the owners of mining rights were forced to agree on the construction of a common gallery, which would drain water from all mining works throughout the district. They also treated her with hereditary rights, inherited from generation to generation, the so-called nines, i.e., 1/9 of the profit were paid to the owners for its use. The hereditary gallery of Dürrholz, locally called Dürrschlupfka, is a total of 1,500 meters long and leads below the Komati Vishka. As one of the oldest preserved mining works at the Ore Mountains, it has been declared a cultural monument. Station number 8, exhibition of minerals and decorations to the Durholz table. Here we have a collection of minerals and various objects that were found during the reconstruction of the gallery. Interesting are the ancient gaps for the transfer of ore or the trough, which had to be filled in one shift. In the photos, you can see the portals in their original condition and also a very important building, the former quarry. Miners came here to register before and after plowing, and the stepladder, or mine supervisor, distributed their work and paid their wages. They say that before the men were paid, the wives would stand in line to collect the money so the men did not drink all their wages at a pub nearby. Behind the railing at the end of the corridor, you will see a retreat leading to the Hereditary Durholz Gallery. Station 9, Cross. We are at a place called the Cross. It is a place where two corridors cross at the bottom. Here, in 1868, the miners successfully hit the Lukács vein. It is visible on the right side of the main following corridor. The ore vein is basically a slab, sometimes called a kra, set in a rock massif. The Lukács vein is 2 kilometers long, 2 kilometers wide, and thick, i.e. thick from 5 centimeters up to 60 centimeters. It is stored in the mastiff at an inclination of 35 degrees. The tin ore that the vein contains, among other impurities, is called castorite, or tin. Castorite is a very hard mineral, and in order to obtain pure tin, it had to be further treated in so-called treatment plants. There, the mined ore was first sorted, then crushed, and washed. After being crushed into small grains, it was transported to a smelter, where it was weighed, heated, and melted in ovens. The reconnaissance corridor, which is on the right in front of us, was excavated by prisoners of war during World War II. It is 1.5 kilometers long and ends directly below the Great Depression at the Komaševiška. The depression is a terrain depression created by mining activities. It is basically a large pit. The one on the Komaševiška is one of the largest in the Ore Mountains and was therefore declared a cultural monument. At the entrance to the reconnaissance corridor, there is an example of a mining toilet. Station number 10, Panenka Maria, the Virgin Mary. While constantly watching the Lukács vein, we came to the place where the original profile intersects on the left, i.e. a corridor excavated with an iron and a threshing floor, with an upper reconnaissance corridor on to the right. Two workers, a miner and an assistant, always worked on the front, i.e. at the front of the corridor where the excavation took place. It was hard work. They had to kneel when working in tight space. They only shone with their torches, so they spent the entire 6-hour shift in the damp, dark, and cold. In 6 hours of work, they advanced 2.5 centimeters forward. And how much did they earn? Their wages were enough to support their families, but often women and children often had to help sorting and crushing the ore. Station 11, U Nádrže, by the tank. During World War II, mining focused on wolframite. It was mined in two ways, corridor and chamber mining. Let's describe the first way, corridor. After the main bend, two 25-meter-long upper corridors jutted upwards from the main attic corridor, again 25 meters apart. Upstairs, at the top, at the end of these upper corridors, a straight, continuous corridor ran between them, connecting them. This created a block measuring 25 by 25 meters, ready for mining. After extracting one block on one floor, the next floor continued, and another, and another. Here in the gallery, the floors are bounced like stairs, because the vein does not lead vertically up through the massif, but passes through at an angle of 35 degrees. A water tank was built in the first upper corridor, where the miners flushed the hammer drills. Further, along the route, the Lukács vein is beautifully visible on the upper right side and on the lower left side. Station number 12, Discharge. We are now at the so-called sloping corridor, where we will explain how the material and carved rock was transported. For the excavated material to get down here from the upper floors to the main corridor, such a low sloping corridor, which is called sloping, had to be drilled. It was laid out with wooden, later sheet metal gutters, through which the material fell down by gravity into the riverbed, where a mining truck had already been built on the tracks. Fully loaded, it had to be manually pushed to the surface of the hopper. Station 13, Lukáš's vein. In this section, the tin vein, Lukáš, was washed. It can be said to have three best things. It is one of the most powerful, which also means the tin content of the richest ore veins, not only in our country, but in the whole of Central Europe. The yield per ton was 30 kilograms of pure tin, and it is also the longest tin vein in Central Europe. Tin is a silvery metal, harmless, and corrosion resistant. For easy workability, it was used from the Middle Ages to the Baroque to produce liturgical objects such as baptistry or church candlesticks. Before the discovery of porcelain, dishes and toys were made of tin. Thin tin foil is still used today to cover the inside of cans. Station number 14, the grand chamber above the iron reinforcement. We're at a place where we will show the second method of mining, which was chamber mining. As the name suggests, and as we can see, the miners first dug out the chamber. On the left, along the entire length of the chamber, they dug a corridor. Then they moved to the right where they mined. The waste, i.e. the material that could not be used in any way, was folded into the prepared corridor on the left. They created dry walls, which are called foundations. The base also served as reinforcement. The method of chamber mining with the foundation was economical because it saved money for balancing the tailings from the mine to the surface. Station 15, the first appointment on the German floor. Tin ore mining was terminated in the Stari Martin Gallery at the beginning of the 1930s. In 1920, 120 miners were still working on three faces, and 2 years later, the operation was completely stopped. During World War II, in January 1940, the audit was ceremoniously reopened. The event was attended by representatives of the Sudeten NSDAP, led by Konrad Heinlein. Prisoners of war were deployed to work underground. They were looking for lots of vein where tungsten could be present in larger quantities, which is the ore from which tungsten is made, which is used to heat steel. And the Third Reich really needed that in the armaments industry. At that time, two sinkholes were excavated here. This corridor is one of them. It is 60 meters long, and it marks the beginning of the so-called German floor. Station number 16, the main surface corridor. We will now stop at the main upper corridor. It is 190 meters long and was used to transport material from the floors. There are a total of 9 floors in the gallery. There are 7 of them above us. We are on the 8th floor and there is one more below us. All corridors of all 9 floors measure a total of 30 kilometers. On the top floor, the survey revealed 1 meter wide and 1 meter high corridors from the period when miners mined tin ore using a method called fire planting or rock breaking. We recall that from the 15th to the 18th century, tin ore was mined by digging pits from the surface, and miners dug narrow passages from those pits from which they mined precious tin ore. That is why the oldest mines are on the top floor. Bedding on fire was a slow but effective way to break rock. A fire was made at the front of the hall, setting a rock on fire. The hot rock was then flooded with cold water. This process had to be repeated until the rock cracked due to different temperatures. The miners hammered oak wedges into the cracks, and again there was watering. The wooden stops swelled with watering, thus enlarging the cracks in the rock. And at that moment, the miners, with their mining hammers and chisels, that is, the two hammers from our mining emblem, started to cut the cracked rock. During World War II, drills, similar to the ones exhibited here, began to be used for mining. Station number 17, Main West Corridor near the trolley. We moved from the main upper corridor to the main downhill corridor. In the years 1939 to 1945, two sinkholes were dug below the level of the main following corridor. The first one was broken into the old hereditary gallery of Dernholtz. We are at the second downhill corridor, 90 meters long, which served as the main mining corridor. We have examples of work aids and tools that were used in the post-war years, in the second half of the 20th century. Air-powered, diamond-crowned drills, igniters, manual rail bender, jacks, and hand winches. The winch is basically a rope winch used to lower and pull the loaded carts into the transport corridor. Here, you see the original hunt from the time of the mining during World War II. It is called a cradle because it rocks from side to side. On the right side are displayed the signs of mining towns. Station number 18, Spring of Happiness. We're at the place where wishes come true, at the source of happiness. It is said that the Permons, the guardians of the underground treasures, will fulfill the wishes of all who keep secrets. The water of the Spring of Happiness is drinkable, so, if you want, you can drink and make a wish. If you do not reveal your wishes to anyone, they will be fulfilled within a year. Station 19, Explosive Warehouse, end of the inspection route. We have reached the end of the tour and have seen for ourselves that the underground galleries and shafts are very cold and wet. We see on the mannequins how the miners used to be dressed during their hard work. The miners' work clothes consisted of trousers, most often black leggings and a light linen blouse with a hood, which was called a bouquet. It reached to the knees and was belted with a leather strap on which the miners hung spare hammers and a wick and flint bag. They wore leather knee pads and leather boots up to the middle of their calves. The final stop is the explosive warehouse at the end of the corridor on the right, which was used in the 1950s, i.e., in the last years of the gallery's operation, when the exploratory trench under the Komaszewiczka was completed. According to safety regulations, the warehouse had to be divided into two parts. In one part, detonators were stored, and in the other part was an explosives depository. Here you can see the devices for measuring air quality, breathing apparatuses, and equipment that serves mine rescuers. In ore mines included here, every miner had to be equipped with a small self-rescue device to breathe in the event of a fire. Larger, self-rescue devices were used in coal mines where there is a risk of gas leakage. They served as a source of oxygen in gas chambers or corridors. Both devices had a maximum capacity of only 45 minutes. We also have, for example, a CH-255 breathing apparatus for rescuers made in the Czech Republic by the Chirana Company. It is a device which regenerates exhaled air with a closed breathing circuit, equipped with an oxygen reservoir and a carbon dioxide absorber. Working with this device was very difficult. It weighed 20 kilograms and heated up to 65 degrees after just an hour. Since the 1980s, rescue devices from the German company Dräger, which are among the best in the world, have been used underground. They work on the same principle of a closed breathing circuit, but thanks to the three-way valve, they lasted twice as long and also weighed only 12.5 kilograms. Their only disadvantage was the very high price. At that time, in the 1980s, the Dräger breathing apparatus cost the same as a Skoda car made here. Thank you for visiting the Stary Martin Gallery in Krupka and for your attention. After plowing back to the surface, it is possible to see the outdoor museum. We say goodbye with the mining greeting. Go with God.